Hey guys, okay, what is your go-to procrastinating activity?
Oh, that's a hard one. Procrastinating activity. Oh, mine is definitely Instagram reels all day, every day. When I come home from school, get home from the gym. Oh my gosh, homework never gets done.
I feel like mine is I just literally wander. I will wander around the house and find
Is literally
nothing
so
to
valid.
do. I'll go on a walk. I just like find random things to do.
Oh my gosh, for real? You just like walk around doing nothing? No music?
Yeah.
Really?
Well, probably music, I
Okay.
guess. Yeah. Or doing something not productive. Yeah.
Yeah, that's relatable. I think I relate to both. I
Yeah.
probably do both.
So real.
Welcome to the I Remember podcast with Anna.
And Maddie.
And today we have Megan with us. Megan, do you want to introduce yourself?
For sure. Yeah, I'm Megan. I'm one of Anna's like closest friends. I live here down in Harriman, Utah. Woot woot. It's super awesome down here. Go to school at Mountain Ridge. I'm a senior this year. It's super awesome. So yeah, I love snowboarding. I mountain bike in the summer. Super fun. Love being outside. Love hanging out with friends. Super awesome.
Yes, we're so excited to have Megan here. And we have a new person on the podcast. This is Maddie. Maddie, do you want to introduce yourself?
Yeah, so I guess she already said I'm Maddie. I just returned from my mission about like 2.5 weeks ago. I was serving in the Ghana Accra East mission. Best mission ever. Yeah. I love to mountain bike. I love to be outside. I'm going to BYU in the fall, and I'm excited to be on this podcast.
Yes. So to clarify, Megan is the guest today, and then Maddie will be one of the co-hosts. Okay, so today we wanted to talk about Jesus's light and how a lot of times tender mercies can come through other people who are sharing Jesus's light, or when we show up for other people sharing that light. So, Megan, you went to HXP this summer and
Yes, it was so
FSY.
awesome. Yes.
Okay, can you just tell us like where you went for HXP and where you went for FSY and kind of what you were doing?
Yeah, of course. So for HXP, I went to HXP first. Like, I literally had to miss some school to go because it was like right at the beginning of the summer. I went to Tamboril, Dominican Republic. Such a cool experience. And then for FSY, I went to just the small city of Ephraim down in Snow College. So yeah, super awesome. And yeah. And then for HXP, what we did was we built a school for special needs kids. Such a cool experience. So awesome. We were digging the foundation. And then for FSY, I was kind of more there for me and to learn like new things for myself. So yeah.
Awesome. Okay, so what?
Oh wow, that's amazing. You know, you should cut
that out. I cut it out. I cut out my like little piece where I was like, "Well, I didn't actually," because I forgot to answer that and ask the question.
I won't. Don't worry. Wow, those sound like really cool experiences that you've had.
For sure.
Probably something that most people can relate to. So what was a moment of personal struggle on these trips, and how did Jesus's light find you there?
For both of my trips, actually, I struggled a lot with connecting with the people, which usually isn't a huge problem with me because I love being extroverted and making friends and learning about people. But these people were like kind of harder to connect with. We just didn't have a lot of similarities, especially at HXP. And how I kind of got over that, well, the first couple days it was actually really hard, and I remember just like coming home back to our little like Airbnb and just like crying, because I literally felt like I was making no connections. And how I literally got over that was through straight prayer, like, and asking God to, instead of me seeing all of their weaknesses, see all of their strengths. And I kind of had to break down that barrier of, I don't like this person, to, oh, you're actually really cool. Because I feel like when we first meet people, it's, oh, I like you or I don't like you, and there's no in between. And it's really hard to break down that barrier once we put it up. So, but for sure, like, including God every night in my prayers with that, he literally helped me see everyone's strength. And by the end, I literally loved every single person on that trip. And every single person was there for a reason, and God showed me what their reason was, and it was so interesting.
Wow. Yeah, I love that. It's like you changed your perspective of, like, you, like, oh, I can't relate to these people. I can't get along with them, or this is different, you know? And you change that to, like, looking at them and seeing, like, their goodness. And, like, I saw that a lot on my mission. Like, when I first got there, it was so hard to relate to everyone just the same way. And when we decide not to look at ourselves and look at other people, that's, like, when we can feel the most pure love of Christ for these people. So thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, for sure.
That's so beautiful. And Jesus' light found you there.
Yeah.
He found you where you were at. Not where you wanted to be, not where you could have been, but where you were at.
Oh, of course, yeah.
So that's so cool. Did you feel any tender mercies when you were there that reminded you that God knew your heart, not just your name?
Yes, actually, when you told me, asked me this question the first time, I immediately thought of something so, like, tender to my heart. When I was there, I had a hard time, like, feeling God there and knowing that he was there with me. So, literally, one day, like, I had to, like, go in the bathroom, shut the door, lock it, because you can't be alone at HXP. It's a big rule. But I just, like, got on my knees, and I was like, Heavenly Father, like, I can't see you. I can't feel you. Like, let me know that you're there. And back at the airport, this girl was like, did you know that there's, like, flamingos in the DR? And I was like, really? That's so cool. So I was like, and I'm not one to do this, like, ever. And I've heard really cool stories of people doing it. But I was like, can you, like, I asked God, I was like, can I, like, see a flamingo? And I literally, I walk out of the bathroom. I'm kind of so sad. And I walk outside, and they're, like, doing stickers and decorating their hard helmets to go to the work site. And I walked outside and I looked down and there's a little flamingo sticker. And aww, it was so adorable. I kept it. I put it in my journal. But literally, like, that was such a big moment for me. And I felt in that moment that God saw me, because he didn't have to do that. And, like, even, like, our stickers, like, got lost at the airport and stuff. So they had to go, like, buy more. And it was actually, like, delayed a day for us, like, decorating our helmets. But it was all for a reason, and that reason was so God could tell me he could see me, and I felt so special and so loved in that moment than I've felt in other spots of my life, for sure.
That is so cool. I love when God can tell us that, hey, I actually do care about what you care about.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you had a hope that you could see a flamingo, and yeah, you might not have seen a flamingo, but he's like, I still care about you, and I want you to know that I care that you see some sort of flamingo, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I guess what kind of helped going into that is, like, there's no way I'm going to see a flamingo. Like, I did not put my expectations high, and I knew that if I didn't see a flamingo, that God still loved me. But that was so special. And actually, I kept seeing flamingos, like, everywhere throughout the trip. And it literally just reminded me of, like, the little tender mercies that God saves for us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it just, like, it goes for the scripture that, like, knock and the door will be opened unto you. Like, God, when we have faith, God wants to give us those moments. He wants us to see him and be, like, amazed by all that he can do. And so, truly, when we go and we seek him, God, he will show up like that. And I'm sure there's so many different instances of people that pray and God will always show up for those little things that we care about. So that's such a cool experience.
Beautiful.
Was there ever a moment where you felt called to be his light for someone else?
Yes, actually, I have a cool story for this, also on HXP. One night, like, we were talking all about just things going on. We were having our nightly Devo, and I just felt super strongly that I had to share a personal story of mine. And it was something that I still, like, hadn't told anybody, and it was super, like, vulnerable of me, and I really didn't want to share it. And it was about, like, I had been going to therapy before this just because it was the end of school and I was pushing through and it was a really hard time. And the therapist actually told me, she was like, Megan, I think you might be moderately depressed. And that's when I, like, dropped out of therapy. It scared me so bad. And I didn't really tell anybody. And then I went on HXP and I still hadn't told anybody. And I had a really big impression that I needed to share with the whole group. And this is a group of, like, 22 people. And that's really scary.
That is.
Yeah, for sure. And so, and I was like, no, I'm not doing that. No, I'm not doing that. But I just felt so strongly that I had to. And so I literally started crying and I was like, I told my story and I was like, geez, I really hope somebody like needed that because that was really big of me. And I had like maybe 5 or 6 people come up to me after and give me the biggest hug and tell me that they needed to hear that. And my trip leaders actually came up to me after and like later in that trip and they were like, Megan, we just want you to know something. And I was like, oh yeah, for sure. Like, what do you need to tell me? And they were like, you know, that night you shared what you did with us. And I was like, yeah. They were like, so many people have come up to us and started telling us their stories. And we've been able to help so many other people. And they've told us it was because you shared your story. And they just, it kind of opened the door for vulnerability.
Isn't that, like, really cool? I feel like in our world today, everyone kind of has, like, the mindset of, like, oh, I need to, like, be perfect. Like, people can't see my weaknesses. But it kind of, like, goes to show that, like, when we are, like, kind of open and honest about our weaknesses, like, it gives an opportunity for people to relate and to be like, I'm not alone in this. And that's a great way to share your light of just, like, being real with people.
Sure.
And showing that life for us is not always perfect, but, you know, we're in this together and, you know, we pass through challenges together. And I think we're a lot more common than we probably think we are.
Totally. Totally. And I think you are a great example of that, just sharing that light.
Oh.
And people see that. That's why they went and shared their stories, because they saw that you're a light and you were vulnerable. And that everyone has those. That's so beautiful. Okay, did anything on your trip change the way that you understand who Jesus really is?
Yes, actually, when I was on my trip, this one's for FSY, we had a, like, the lady who was in charge, she was running the whole thing. She's so awesome. Her name was Sister Bellini. She was literally one of the coolest people I've ever met. She would do all of, like, the big group devos during the day. And she was an RM. She's 26 years old. She is a seminary teacher. And she's literally so awesome. Such a role model. Holy cow. And during the last couple of days, I was writing down the attributes that made her so amazing. And later I was looking back at them and I was realizing these are all Christ attributes that make her so amazing and such an over-the-top lady. And it's not, when we look at people like this, it's not we want to be like them. We want to be like Jesus. So instead of saying I want to be like Sister Bellini, I started saying I want to be like Jesus. And these are just the attributes that Jesus has passed on to Sister Bellini. And so what I've learned is Jesus can shine through other people so bright. It just depends if you let him in or not. And Sister Bellini let him in so much, and she let him basically steer her life. And you could tell, like, she had such a glow to her. And so, yeah.
I love this so much because when you were talking about Sister, what's her name?
Bellaney.
Sister Bellaney. She probably has her own insecurities. She knows her own weaknesses. She knows that she's not perfect, because none of us are, right? But when you saw her, you didn't see any of those. And I think sometimes we get so insecure of, wait, but I know my weaknesses. I know that I'm not good at this and this and this and this, and I struggle with this and this and this. But when we carry ourselves with, like, confidence in Jesus Christ, then I think we need to realize that people don't see those weaknesses. They're not looking deep inside to figure out every flaw within us. They're looking at those Christ-like attributes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is so cool.
Yeah, totally. I think sometimes we're our worst critic, you know, of ourself. But truly, I think most people see the best in others. And we can be examples of that, of just always seeing good in people, because there's so much good around the world. That's so amazing. So, Megan, if you had to describe Jesus's light to someone who didn't know him, what story from your summer would you share?
Oh, dang it. Okay. I would probably ask them if they've ever seen anybody that is just glowing and with joy, like overly joyed. And it's not necessarily that they were in a like super happy situation. It could be at a restaurant or just walking down the street. Have you ever seen anyone that is so overly just glowing with joy? And when you talk to them, it's like you get uplifted and you leave and you're just like, whoa, like, oh my goodness, like, what was that? That is what I like to call the Jesus glow. I think that is just purely through Jesus.
Yeah. I love that you talk about it, like, this joy being contagious, like, with the people that you're around. Like, you can't not, like, smile and laugh with them, because, like, the joy, that the glow that they have, it just, like, radiates on anything they're around. And, like, I think of it, like, them, they're not necessarily the light, but they're, like, holding it. Like, if you think of a torch, like, they're holding this torch of Jesus Christ's light. And in a way, they're, like, almost, like, going to your torch and, like, relighting it, you know? Maybe sometimes we just go and we feel the warmth of the fire, but you know, we can go, and if we have this torch that's burning with Christ's light, we can go and help others reignite theirs with Jesus Christ's light.
Yeah, men are that they might have joy. That's the point of this whole life experience, is to experience joy. And I mean, you have to know sorrow to know joy. But I had a companion that was such a good example of joy. She saw joy in everything, and you couldn't help. It was that glow. You couldn't help but just be happy when you were around her, because she truly understood the atonement of Jesus Christ. She understood that glow that comes from Jesus. So now that you're home, you're not on these trips anymore, and you won't be going on them throughout the school year, right?
For sure, yeah.
Now that you're home, how do you take the experiences that you've had and the things that you've learned and apply it into your everyday life?
So it's funny you ask that, because when I got home, I made a goal, and because I was thinking about the same question, and I was like, how do I carry this throughout the school year? And what I came up with was, I want to find comfortability and what the goal was I want to find comfortability. What the goal was I want to find confidence and comfortability in living through Jesus Christ. And I feel like when we are away from Jesus Christ for so long, and not really necessarily away from him, but just like lukewarm, you know, in the lukewarm waters, that we get so comfortable, and it's so hard to rip ourselves out of that water and just live for Jesus, like full on. And that's so heavy and so hard because we're so comfortable. As human beings, we hate so badly to get out of what we're comfortable in and get out of our comfortable zones. But what I've come to the conclusion of is we have to do this to find comfortability in other places. Like when you're moving, you have to move. And it's going to be very uncomfortable for a little while, but then you're going to start calling your new house home. I feel like it's the same way for transitioning to living for Jesus Christ and having that glow with you, is just starting with the little things, and we'll talk about that more in a second. But yeah, that is what I really want to work on this year.
I love that.
Yeah. I think those things will even come naturally. You know, when you, like, I think of times in my life, I've been in both situations where, like, maybe, like, scripture study and prayer and all those things are on the back burner. And, you know, I'm just, like, focusing on school and work, and I'm stressed out. And, you know, I'm comfortable, like, just hanging out with my friends and saying a meager prayer by the end of the night. But when I put in that effort to, like, pray and read my scriptures, like, you get that peace from the Savior. Mm-hmm. And I think that if we just over time create that habit, like, it'll easily come to be a part of our life and become like who we are. Sure. So I think that's an amazing goal that all of us can try and set. And mm-hmm. Yeah,
and it's not comfortable. I like you mentioned that mm-hmm. it's not gonna be comfortable, because even making those goals is a little bit uncomfortable.
For sure.
And then following through with how you're going to achieve it is even more uncomfortable. But once we get comfortable in the uncomfortable, I like the analogy you used with moving. Once you're comfortable with it, once you're comfortable with the habits, then
you don't even want to go back.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You don't want to.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And, like, especially after, like, a big trip that you've had, like, spiritual experiences with the Savior, it's so easy to, like, come home and, like, have these goals, but to easily, like, slip away.
Mm-hmm.
And I've experienced this so many times, like, so many girls camps I've gone to, like, okay, I'm gonna do this and this and this, and then, like, life picks up again. And
I think it's relatable for everyone. Oh, yeah, that goes right. On these trips.
And I don't know who I heard this from, but there's, of course, the stories of Jesus in the Bible. I like them broken down so that you're getting kind of like Maddie's version. But, you know, when Jesus dies, his disciples are kind of just left there with no instructions on what they need to do. You know, they're kind of just like, well, he's gone, you know, mm-hmm. like, and the disciples, they decide to go back fishing after this, like, probably like 2-year mission they've had. Of Jesus teaching them, like, how the church is going to be run and everything. He's gone, and they're kind of lost. And they're mm-hmm. like, okay, well, this experience is done. And Peter says, I'm going fishing. Let's go, mm-hmm. you know? And then Jesus Christ shows up, and he calls them. And in my own words, I bet the Savior is like, Peter, what are you doing? You know? Like, yeah. did I not just teach you all these things? And, of course, the Savior loves him, and Peter probably just didn't understand, but Jesus calls him, and he's like, Peter, I taught you to feed my sheep. Like, do you love me? Feed my sheep. That's what I've been trying to teach you. That's what these experiences are for. You're not a fisher of fish anymore. You're a fisher of men. And so, like, I think I've had that wake-up call so many times of, like, oh, I go on these cool experiences, and then I come back, and my life's back to normal. But God's saying, no, you learn these things.
So that you can share it.
Exactly.
So you can share that light.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And what I would say to that, too, is, for me, I found it helpful to find those things that I'm kind of, like, I struggle with, or that are my looser ends. And I don't avoid them, but I for sure keep them in mind. And, like, for me, a big thing for me is the people I'm around impact me so much. Like, it's like everyone has that, but I feel like for me, I seriously become who I hang around. And when I'm following disciples of Jesus Christ, I will be a disciple of Jesus Christ. If I'm following people who are making terrible choices, I'm going to be making terrible choices. And so I've kind of, like, apply this to my life in the sense of praying for good friends or like whatever you struggle with, you can pray to help. You can pray for Heavenly Father to help you through your loose ends. Or for Peter, it was like fishing. He just wanted to go fishing. And I feel like we can kind of take that as like an analogy to our life and what we struggle with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that.
That is so good. I think that answers our last question of what can we do to radiate mm-hmm. Christ's light? What can we do? And I love that you said, Maddie, feed his sheep. We are so much happier, so much more joyful when we're serving others. That's what Christ did his entire life. That's what he taught his disciples to do, and that's what he taught us to do. And that's what you learned on your HXP trip at FSY. You were doing these things, you were having these experiences to learn and also serving others and radiating that light.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I just have one more thing to share for that last question. It's a scripture. It's John 1, verses 6 through 8. And it says, "There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not sent..." Whoa, let me read that again. "He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light." And I love that so much, because sometimes to radiate his light, we need to witness his light and fill up our cup so then we can go share it, right? If we have nothing in our cups, we have nothing to share. So we have to remember to not only radiate his light, but witness it as well.
Mm-hmm. And kind of like put ourselves in those situations where we can, you know, mm-hmm. like finding those places, those times, you know, maybe in the temple, maybe just on a Sunday morning getting ready for church, yeah. and remembering the covenants you've made. Putting yourself in situations where your cup can be full. Yeah. And then, of course, when it's full, we can go and share that with everyone. And I am such a witness of this on my mission. It's, of course, always focused on everyone else. Mm-hmm. And my mission, it was hard, you know, not the best living mm-hmm. circumstances. Like, oh, I could go on for days about the hard conditions, but I have never felt so much joy and light and peace in my entire life because I was focused on others. I was focused on God's children. And like being home, it's kind of like harder, like mm-hmm. kind of more thinking about myself. But truly, when we love God and we love people, that's when we feel the most joy in our life.
I agree.
And people can see it.
Yeah. And I would just advise anybody that doesn't even know how to witness their life. What I have found is it's so much simpler than you think. Like, I used to think it was this huge list of things you need to do, and you have to do this and this and this. You have to read your scriptures, listen to gospel hymns when you're working out, and these are all great things, and pray all of the time and make sure that you are always helping other people, and these are all great things to work up to. But what I have found is just changing my thoughts first and foremost, changing my thoughts and how I view people and how I think about things, and having clean thoughts, it changes everything. Because your thoughts, I feel like, are the core to everything. Your thoughts are the core to your actions and your words and just almost everything you do.
And by praying and reading those scriptures, you might not even realize it, but that's how those good thoughts come.
Oh, for sure.
Is when you're doing those.
I totally agree.
That's how all those good thoughts are able mm-hmm. to, yeah, to come and have the Spirit with you. Mm-hmm. Well, thanks so much for being on our podcast,
yes,
Megan.
Thank you for inviting me. It was literally so much fun, and I was so excited when you asked me to.
Yeah, literally the best. For those who don't know, Megan's actually my sister. So I guess I'm blessed with
the
best.
Secret's out. Thank you so much, Megan. And we would love to hear your tender mercies, your I remember moments. So drop them in the comments, DM us, email us. We'd love to hear from you. And remember to remember him this week.
See you next time.